places to comment, and there'll also be, like I say, other speakers, Travis Williams of Willamette Riverkeeper, Bob Salinger of Audubon Society, and Rose Longoria from Yakima Nation. She's been just a blessing to have.
Okay.
Yay.
All right, so it's time. Thank you so much for being with us today, Laura. Thank you so much for being with us today, Jackie. Any information will be up on the website. Thank you, Engineer Tammy. That'll do it for Waterworld today.
Thank you.
That was your host, Kristen Yount, on Waterworld. It's just about 10 o'clock. Stay tuned at 10:15 for Flashpoints. Today, asking why is the Orlando shooter branded as a Muslim instead of a homophobe? And Professor Vijay Prashad talks about the confused declarations of support by the shooter. And at 11 o'clock, we've got the food show coming up. Host Chris Siegel interviews Gary Wilson from the Lan Su Chinese Garden, Kate Faria from the Portland Farmers Market Fund, and Tad Seestet from Ransom Wine Company and Distillery. But coming right up, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. Stay tuned for that.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, June 15th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real radio for real people at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guests, we're going to be speaking with Robin Meach with Cascadia Wildlands. The fight to preserve the Elliott State Forest is still on, and it seems to be going on indefinitely. It is of greater and greater importance because what's at stake changes and shifts as years go by, and the collapse of our habitat seems to be moving at a brisker, brisk pace, meaning that we no longer have the luxury of destroying old growth forests. At this point in time, it's actually a question of whether we want to survive as a species. So we're going to be talking about that with Robin in just a moment. We'll also be speaking with the Fossil Fuel Resistance Network's Michael Mintz. There is an action coming up on Saturday, June 18th. There are numerous trainings available, which one might avail oneself of if you want to get involved in civil disobedience. And we'll find out all about that from Michael in just a moment. First, however, we've got some weather. Today, we've got scattered showers, thunderstorms also possible. We had a whiz-banger of a thunderstorm in Troutdale yesterday, just mentioning. Partly sunny, highs around 65. And not much in the way of wind, about 6 miles per hour out of the south. Tonight, scattered showers, thunderstorms, and a low around 49. And for tomorrow, it's 50-50 on the showers. Mainly sunny, though, with a high around 67 and calm winds. For tomorrow night, it's again persistent 50-50 shot at showers and a low around 49. It's chilly nights, eh? And 5 to 7 miles per hour for the winds. And that's it for the weather for Cascadia. I want to mention that the Courage Campaign sued Nestle and others, had sued to stop Nestle from pumping water out of national forests virtually free of charge. Now, Nestle's lawyers are saying that the U.S. government does not have the right to stop them. It's a foreign corporation, right? They want to take water out of Oxbow Springs. And they are claiming that they have a right to do so regardless of the federal government. It's an incredible claim. There was a hearing on Monday, the first hearing in the case. The Courage Campaign and allies were there. The judge called out the Forest Service for arguing that too much time had gone by to challenge the expired permit, but he also asked the lawyers to provide technical information before the final decision came down. The Forest Service let Nestle pump as much as 27 million gallons of water for, get this, $524 each year at another site, not ours, despite a permit that expired in 1988. So that said, it is, I think, important to understand what Nestle intends to do. It's not going to be about ballot measures or anything else. They feel that they have a right, regardless of public opinion or the government, to take water out of the springs. So that said, that's a serious heads up. And moving right along, I want to talk to you. We do have just another couple of interviews. The canoes from Coeur d'Alene are still moving along the river. This is in an effort to draw attention to salmon trapped behind Grand Coulee Dam, a topic that we don't often visit, but it is important to understand that is right now a great concern to the Coeur d'Alene people, has been for a while. And that is, the canoe is to revitalize traditions and culture, but also, of course, in the name of fish. And wouldn't it be great to take out the Grand Coulee Dam? Oh, my God. Wow, that would be terrific. So trying to decide about... let's talk with... I want to bring on Robin Meach with Cascadia Wildlands to talk a bit about the Elliott State Forest. And there's a particular part. This is at issues, I believe, is East Hackey and the Oregon Revised Statute, which prohibits the sale of most of the Elliott State Forest. The state agrees that the statute forbids the sale of the forest, but argues that the law unduly burdens its ability. Now, good morning, Robin. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me.
What is this? First, I do want you to just review for people who are not familiar with the issue what we're talking about when we talk about the Elliott State Forest. But what really gets me is this business of unduly burdening the state's ability to manage the Elliott. What is it? What are they talking about here? Exactly.
So they're talking about the state land boards, basically their core function, which is to manage and dispose of common school fund land. So we're talking about it in the context of the common school fund, which about 84,000 acres of the Elliott is within that constitutional mandate to provide revenue as well as public benefits. So that's the context within the land board, how they have to operate when they're talking about the Elliott and all common school fund lands. So what they're talking about with an unduly burden idea is there's this statute that withdraws the Elliott State Forest from sale, and it's as clear as that. The statute is about one sentence, and that's what it says. And they're arguing that provision is unconstitutional because it tells the land board what they can and cannot do with the Elliott. So that's their argument in essence, that it is burdening their ability to do their main function.
Basically, then, managing a forest is cutting it down because forests manage themselves very well without human intervention. And right now, the idea that the Elliott State Forest, for that matter, any forest at this point, is more valuable, reduced to sawdust and planks, seems foolhardy, to say the least. What is the East Hackney area that is at issue here?
So the East Hackney parcel is on the northern end of the forest. It's about 1,200 acres that was sold as kind of a test run by the land board and the Department of State Lands to kind of figure out, do a valuation of the forest for what would eventually turn into this sale process of the entire 84,000 acres that we're looking at now. And so when that was sold to Seneca Jones in 2014, Cascadia Wildlands, as well as Audubon Society of Portland and Center for Biological Diversity, ultimately sued the state over the sale of that specific parcel, because that was the final action that we could actually tangibly point to as breaking the law. It has implications for the rest of the Elliott, because ultimately the law that we're talking about applies to the entire Elliott, not just the East Hackney parcel. But so in the context of this case, we're speaking only of the East Hackney parcel. And that is one that we've been to. Our executive director, Josh, used to take lead hikes up there into that parcel. And a lot of our members have been to that parcel, and we can no longer get there because it's been closed off by Seneca Jones.
Whoa, that's terrifying. Just before we let you go, do you want to give people the resources and sources to go to find out more and to become seriously involved, because it is a serious issue. I cannot help but look at to note the punish irony of the State Land Board and forestry. That really does say what the Land Board is all about. Absolutely. Some resources for us, please.
Absolutely. I encourage people to visit our website, which is www.caskwild.org. We have multiple things on the website, including a petition to sign that we'll be delivering to the governor as she sits on the state land board, urging her to reconsider selling the Elliott. There's also many pages on our website regarding the Elliott in general, its ability to as a carbon sink and some other things. So I would just suggest going to our website and checking that out.
Thank you so much for that, Robin. I'm really grateful for you joining us on the show today, and more on the Elliott State Forest coming up soon. It's a serious issue, and it deserves our immediate attention. And this can be done in a fun way. You can enjoy the actions that we're going to have to take if we want to preserve our forests. Coming up next, Michael Mintz is joining us. He, of course, is one of the organizers of an action taking place here in Portland on behalf of the whole state, really, to stop fossil fuel bomb trains rolling through Cascadia's land, especially, in my opinion, the more remote regions where it's very difficult should a spill or a huge fire happen. So, Michael, thank you so much and welcome to the show. Can you tell us a little bit about what's happening on Saturday?
Hi, Chris. Thank you for having us. So I represent now the Fossil Fuel Resistance Network. And, after the Mosher explosion last week, Portland Rising Tide and 350PDX.org called together a meeting of everybody who might be interested in opposing the bomb trains. It was just, as you all know, it was just a terrible thing that happened in Mosher last week, and it could have been obviously a lot worse. And so we're planning a nonviolent civil disobedience action on Saturday in Vancouver at Esther Short Park.
Excuse me, I think I said the wrong thing. Esther Shaw Park. Okay, great.
In Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. Let us know how, for listeners who may not have means of writing that down really quickly, say that again, and what's the website where people can find out? Because there's a lot of different trainings,
well,
I see.
Yes. Anybody could go to Facebook and go to the Fossil Fuel Resistance Network. Look for that on Facebook. And all the information for the nonviolent civil disobedience training, which will be happening tomorrow in Portland, there's information on that there. And we're looking for as many people as we can get up there. And, you know, we just want support. If you come up to Vancouver on Saturday, you're not necessarily going to get arrested. There'll be, you know, hopefully hundreds of people there. And, you know, we are also looking at the bigger picture. It's not really just about the bomb trains. And I want to make people mindful of that. We're not just about that. You know, it's really beyond a temporary moratorium on that. And what we're advocating is an immediate plan to phase out the fossil fuel infrastructure and begin to build a real renewable energy infrastructure, because we cannot go on the way we are. And the momentum is with us. The indigenous people are coming out in big time against the trains. The fire departments are coming out against the trains, and the rail safety experts are saying, you know, this is just an unviable, untenable way to continue to power our society.
Of course, we, as the world knows now, Union Pacific has violated safety regulations. Thank you so much for that. We are out of time. We'll talk more about this. My guest has been Michael Mintz with the Fossil Fuel Resistance Network, and also we've been speaking with Robin Meacher with Cascadia Wildlands. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, June 15th, 2016. Tammy Dean engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Tammy. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBC.